Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Hold your hand there. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We'll stop there and let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this day. It's just a joy to be here tonight. Thank you for these folks that have come and wanted to be a part of the service. And Lord, I know there's many at home that would like to be here. And we just pray as we move forward that you'd continue to work to enable us to be together totally as a church someday. But Father, we do ask for this evening that you'd bless as I preach your word. I need a fresh filling of thy spirit. Please lead and direct my thoughts and my words this evening, and may your word have free course. And Father, as we look at this next subject and your answer to it, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us understanding. May we not think of our neighbor, another church member, a spouse, but may we think about the message you have for us tonight, and may our hearts be open to it. Thank you for loving us. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew Mundshaw, interesting last name, was a man from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who for 10 years would keep a detailed list of every single person that wronged him. Anybody in here do anything like that? Don't raise your hand. One day in 2003, Mundshaw hit his tipping point. It was now time to pay back some of the people on his list. And he was going to do it. The first was a 75-year-old man that Mundshaw believed was responsible for getting him fired from a supermarket job 10 years earlier. Mundshaw grabbed fluorescent spray paint and covered the man's entire house with obscenities, threats, and vulgar pictures. But he wasn't done. Mundshaw wanted to move on. So he went to the house of another man on his list that intervened in a fight that Mundshaw was having with his girlfriend 5 years earlier. He not only spray painted the man's house, but he also dumped all the man's potted plants into his hot tub. And then he proceeded to slash the man's tires on his automobile. Still not done. There's more. Mundshaw decided to go to a third house that evening. But Mundshaw ran out of spray paint, so he switched to paint stripper. He took paint stripper and he poured it all over the cars that were parked around the house. What did this person do? Mundshaw believed that this woman cut him off in traffic. Mundshaw was afterwards arrested, and all God's people said amen, charged with 3 counts of criminal damage and 2 counts of disorderly conduct. But my point is this, is that Munshaw was dealing with a problem that many people, even Christians, struggle with, to a lesser degree, I hope, anyway. And that is holding a grudge. That is resentment. The Bible word for what we're talking about tonight, as you see it on your handout sheet, is the word bitterness. Bitterness. Have you noticed that there are a lot of bitter people in this world? I mean, a lot. There are even many Christians that attend church on a regular basis that are bitter people. And I want to ask tonight, why is that? What causes somebody to be bitter? You know, the word bitter and its forms, and there's many forms of it. There's bitter, bittern, bitterly, and bitterness are found in 61 verses in the Bible. It is a familiar word. And the word bitter is used. I read it twice tonight from the two passages that I read. And the word is used in several ways in the Bible. For example, it is used to describe food. Anybody ever eat bitter food? I think we all have it one time or another. Numbers 9:11 says this, 14th day of the second month at evening, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. You see, food that is said to be bitter is food that is somewhat sharp, I guess is a good term, pungent or biting. It is unpleasant to the taste. I remember when my wife and I were in Israel and we were going down, the group had gone to the Dead Sea, and they say, do not taste the water. They said that it was very, very bitter. Now, we didn't taste the water. As a matter of fact, we didn't go down because there were people who wanted to swim in the Dead Sea. I don't get that. They had the idea that it made your skin better, like a baby, and I thought, it's the Dead Sea. It kills everything. I don't get that. But anyway, it's a good marketing strategy. But my point is this. Water can be bitter. The word bitter is sometimes used to describe a situation. For example, in Exodus chapter 1, in verse 14, with the children of Israel, the Bible says, and they, talking about the Egyptians, made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. You know, sometimes a food can be bitter, but sometimes we can be in a situation that is bitter as well. A bitter situation is a situation that is tough, that is painful, that is difficult, that is distressing. People often speak of going through a bitter divorce, and that's what it can be. It can be bitter. But we also use it to describe a certain state that people can be in. And that's tonight's use. That's what we're looking at tonight. People can be in the condition of being bitter people. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10. And she, speaking of Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. People that are bitter people are in pain. They hold a grudge. Bitter people, we could say, are people that are perpetually angry, either angry at someone or angry at something or just bitter in general. The Bible term for that is someone is bittern. That's an interesting word. We don't use it a lot here in this day. But tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to ask ourselves, why do people and how can we prevent from being bitter? Have you ever thought about this? Nobody's born bitter. As a matter of fact, you never notice a resentful baby, a bitter baby. Now, they cry. I understand that. I get that. But a small child, of course, even a small child, doesn't typically hold a grudge very long. They really don't. But it's not uncommon to find an adult that does that, and especially an older adult who has become embittered, and we could even say resentful. Sometimes we refer to them, perhaps not in a nice way, as just a grumpy old person. And I want to ask tonight, how does somebody get there? How does someone start out as a child and just frolicking around? And yeah, they get hurt, but they don't hold grudges. They don't get bitter. But as life progresses and things go on, all of a sudden people, and even God's people, can become bitter. Bitterness can be a problem, even in believers. But you know that bitterness, if you'll look back at our text in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 31, that bitterness and resentment is something that no child of God should ever display. Can I get an amen right there? None of us should ever. We do not have a right to be bitter. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Amen. So the question is tonight, can the Bible help us in this area? Well, the answer obviously is yes. Now, you know, for several weeks now, we've been going through this series, God's Answers for Man's Problems. And we've looked at a lot of different things. And the idea of this series is to get us to understand something. And I think the premise is very important. And that is the problems that you and I face here today in 2020. We get the idea that they're new or they're unique to our culture or they're unique to our time period. But the truth of the matter is that the basic problems that you and I face here today in 2020 are the same problems man has always faced.
Right.
Always. Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. What you and I face is common to man. And so tonight I'd like to deal with this idea of man's problem of bitterness. Can I ask you tonight, have you let something get you bitter? Get you resentful about things? How can we break out of that thing? Well, let's notice, first of all, number one, as we go to our sheet, let's talk about the cause of bitterness. The cause of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Now notice, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What is the cause of bitterness? Let me make a statement here, and then I'll explain it. Bitterness is a result of, and this is in your blank here, it is a result of prolonged, unresolved anger. Can I say that again? Bitterness is a result of prolonged, unresolved anger. Now, let me explain. Look at verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says, be ye what? Angry and sin not. You know, some people have the idea that the emotion of anger in and of itself is sin. Do you know it's not? It is not. You say, wait a minute here. Now, don't hyperventilate yet. Anger is a God-given emotion. Amen? That is manifested when someone has been wronged. It's manifested when some right has been violated. When we see some injustice being done. When someone treats you wrong or hurts you or hurts someone else, whether it be real or perceived. What happens to us? We get angry. Is that wrong to get angry? The answer is no. You see, anger is an emotion that God himself displays. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14 says this, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. So if anger is a sin, then God would be sinning. And he's not.
Amen.
So it's not a sin. Jeremiah 4:8 talks about the anger of the Lord. Gird you with sackcloth. Lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. You see, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if he gets angry, we know that anger in and of itself is not a sin. You know, there's some things that you and I should be angry about. What we're seeing happening in our country should anger us. The killing of innocent unborn should make us angry. A crime against someone who has done nothing wrong or an innocent person should make us angry. Someone talking or taking advantage of another person, that should, particularly a child, should make us angry. You know, when someone hurts us, when someone disappoints us, when somebody sins against us, you know what that'll do? That will anger us. When someone steals our property, that should anger us. When someone is preaching false doctrine, that should anger us. When someone preaches wrong things, that should anger us. When we see the effects of sin on this world, that should anger us. My point is this, it's okay to be angry at certain things. As a matter of fact, I think we need a little bit more of that. Because we have people, particularly young men today, that lack zeal, that lack a passion for God's word, that lack a passion for truth. They lack a burden. They don't have a backbone. And they go through life like this. Well, whatever. Whatever's okay. To each his own. You know, it's okay to be stirred up. Amen. And we should be stirred up. But again, anger in and of itself is not wrong. And here's what I'm getting to. It is what we do with that anger that can be wrong. Notice again Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. We read, "Be ye angry and do what? Sin not." Amen. You know, one of the problems that can occur when we do not handle our anger properly is we become bitter. We can become resentful. We can hold grudges, which can lead to doing things like taking vengeance and committing acts of violence. Again, you see bitterness and resentment and harboring grudges. All are the result of prolonged, unresolved anger. Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath," is another way of saying this. Notice, stop nourishing your bitterness. Stop nourishing your grudges. Be angry, sin not. Don't let that sun go down upon your wrath. So again, yes, be angry, but don't let that anger settle in. Because if you do, it will control you. It will control me. It will dominate us. It will grip us. It will possess us. And the result of that will be what? Bitterness. You know, bitterness will change your disposition. It'll affect your personality. It can turn you and me, if we get angry at something and let that sin, the sun go down upon our wrath, and we allow that anger to fester in us, to churn in us, to stay there. Again, what it's going to do, it's going to make us bitter, and it's going to turn us into an unpleasant, mean, and even cantankerous person. My point is this. Anger must be of temporary duration, short-lived, because if you let it settle in, it will begin to irritate you. If you think about it, let it gnaw away at you like a cancer, it is going to produce some devastating effects. So we have to guard this emotion of anger and deal with it and discharge it as soon as possible. You say, how do we do that? That's going to be later on in the message. What I'm trying to show you here tonight first is the cause of bitterness. If you allow something that gets you upset or angry to be prolonged and that anger to be unresolved, that is what is going to turn you and me into a bitter person. So we see, number one, the cause of bitterness. Number two, I want you to write down the consequence of bitterness. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, perhaps the most familiar story in the Bible that deals with bitterness is the story of Esau and his twin brother Jacob. Jacob heard his brother Esau. You remember that. You remember Jacob, the trickster, the supplanter, the one that wanted to do things and have things his own way. What did he do? He He heard his brother Esau, and Esau became a bitter man. Why did Esau become a bitter man? I'll tell you why. Because Jacob did two things to him that weren't nice to do. I mean, when we think of that story, he did two things that absolutely angered Esau. The first was this. Jacob stole Esau's birthright. I think you remember the story in Genesis chapter 25 in verses 27 through 34. We won't go there for time's sake. But if you remember that Esau was coming in from the field, and of course Esau was the firstborn. He had the birthright, but he was starving, and Jacob had some food, and Esau wanted that food, and Jacob tricked him. He withheld him from it. He held that birthright over his head, and he said, "If you give me your birthright, I will give you the food." Esau's attitude was that his birthright had no value. He didn't care. He was more about the immediate than he was about the future. And so what did he do when it came time to barter for some food? Jacob convinced Esau to sell him his birthright. And Esau later got angry. And that unresolved anger was there inside the heart of Esau. And imagine day after day as he saw his brother and he worked with his brother and he lived with his brother. And he thought about the fact that Jacob stole that birthright. Imagine what it did to him. It was broiling inside of him. But it didn't stop there. Later on, we know that Jacob tricked his father Isaac, and he did a second thing. He not only stole Esau's birthright, he stole the blessing from Esau as well in Genesis chapter 27. This act of him as he Jacob dressed up to make himself look like Esau and snuck into the father, and you know the story, and he fooled him, and his father gave him the blessing instead of Esau, and Esau comes back and finds out what happened, and he gets enraged, and that second act angered him, and it put Esau over the top. He was so enraged. He wanted to kill his brother. Jacob had to flee to Padan Aram, to his mother's relatives, for his life. And for years, they did not see one another. But notice here in Hebrews chapter 12, we read a little bit about that story. Verse 16. We read, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Understand, this is the example of what was just told a moment ago about bitterness and this root of bitterness. You see, Esau would end up dying and a bitter man. He would never get this right in his life. He would never deal with his bitterness for years, for the rest of his life. And imagine that, for the rest of his life, he was an angry person and he died resentful and embittered. I don't want to die that way. Do you? You know, I think we learn some things about the consequences of bitterness as we think about Esau and also the principle of bitterness in the Bible. Letter A, write this down. Let's consider its manifestation. So here is Esau's the epitome, if you will, of bitterness. And I want to ask ourselves tonight, how can you and I figure out and ask ourselves, are we bitter people? Am I a bitter person? How does bitterness manifest itself? How can it be seen? Well, there are many ways that bitterness and resentment manifest itself in the life of a person. Some are subtle ways, more subtle ways. Some are less subtle ways. Like the illustration of Matthew Munshaw, I told you this evening. That was not a subtle way of bitterness manifesting itself. Esau was not a subtle way either. But understand, when it happens with you and me, when we let that anger fester and we get bitter, there are some really subtle ways that it manifests itself. And the most common way that resentment and bitterness manifests itself is this way, through the tongue, through what we say. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Don't miss the connection here from these verses to verse 31 of let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you. Notice Ephesians 4, verse 29, let's look at it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath, notice in anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Do you know the most common way that bitterness in my heart and in your heart is manifested is right here from my mouth. Listen to what people say. Listen to how they talk. Do you know the greatest danger that faces a congregation, any church congregation? Is not doctrine, although doctrine's important. It is the use of our tongues. The use of our tongues. You see, Ephesians 4:31 that I just read, this anger and bitterness and so forth, that is the result of a person that has let anger fester into bitterness. You know, when a person gets hurt and lets the sun go down upon their wrath and lets their anger grow and fester into resentment and bitterness, that the very first place that bitterness is revealed is in the tongue. Go back to me with me to Genesis 27. Let's see if that's the case with Esau. Genesis chapter 27. By Genesis 27, Esau had enough. His brother Jacob had stole his blessing, and that anger was churning inside of him. And then he stole the birthright. Then he stole the blessing. And when we get to Genesis 27 and verse 36, notice his speech. And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" Look at verse 38. "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Do you know a bitter person will continually talk about the situation that made them bitter? They will continually talk about the person that hurt them. They will continually bring it up again and again and again and again. That's how you can tell if you're bitter. Do you talk about this situation again and again? Do you constantly bring up that person's name over and over and what they did and what happened? Do you continually seek sympathy from others about this situation? Do you continually seek support from others? That's a sure sign of bitterness. You know, a bitter person can do all sorts of things. They can display outbursts of anger. Bitter people are often short-fused. They're irritable. They talk boldly about the one that hurt them, the one whom they hold a grudge against. Bitterness's primary place of manifestation is in the tongue. Can I ask us tonight, does your tongue reveal that there's something that you're holding a grudge about? That there's something perhaps that you have resented in your life and it's affecting your life? Because that's how it's manifested, by the tongue. But then notice, secondly, not only when we talk about the consequences of bitterness, its manifestation, notice, secondly, its transmission. Here's what I mean by that. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12 again. It's interesting when it's talking about bitterness, the Bible here, what it says. Look at verse 15. Notice, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's interesting. Here's bitterness in somebody's heart that we're warned against. Esau's given the example of that. And he says, when that bitterness is in you, notice it's not just you that are being defiled, but many are being defiled. Do you know that bitterness is a very damaging thing? Amen. Not only for the person who is bitter, but for everyone around them. You see, Esau would not only die a bitter man, but his bitterness just disrupted the whole family. Dad sided with Esau because Esau was bitter. Mom sided with Jacob. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Jacob left home. What a mess their home life was because of, yes, Jacob did wrong. I get that. And he shouldn't have. But Esau allowed it to make him bitter, and it affected everybody else. Do you know a person's bitterness will affect their marriage? A person's bitterness will affect your family. It'll affect our church. It'll affect your workplace. It'll affect everyone that you come into contact with. That's what bitterness does. You see, believers have a responsibility that I think sometimes we often forget. Look again at Hebrews chapter 12, and let's go back to verse 14. It's all connected. Notice we read, follow peace with all men. Ephesians 4:3 puts it this way, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember, we have a responsibility to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do you know what disrupts unity in a family and what disrupts unity in a church and what disrupts unity among believers? You know, the word bitterness. You say, why is that? Because bitterness grows like crabgrass. I hate crabgrass. I do. I think the only person who hates it more than me is Mr. Horn. I mean, that stuff just goes and goes and grows and goes and goes. That's what bitterness does. Why is that? Because the person that is bitter, the person that is holding on to that anger, cannot keep it to himself. He has to tell somebody and everybody that he's been wrong. He's got to explain why he's bitter. He's got to explain why he's the way he is to justify himself. And you know what that does? It causes people to take sides. It causes people to not like someone that they may not even know because this person is spreading that bitterness about that person to everyone else. Spread like a cancer. You see, bitterness is a very damaging thing. It brings a church down. It brings a family down. It divides people. That's what it does. There's a lot of consequences to bitterness. And then number three, and we're done. Not only number one, the cause of bitterness. It is a result of prolonged, unresolved anger. Number two, the consequence of bitterness. Its manifestation primarily through the tongue. Its transmission, it gets passed around and around and around, if not dealt with. So how do we deal with it? Well, let's talk about number three, the cure for bitterness. There's really a way to cure it. We can't stop things from angering us because that is a God-given emotion and things that are wrong anger us. They get us upset when things don't go right or an injustice is done. So how do we deal with it? How do we deal with not letting that anger develop into bitterness? Well, two things we have to do. Number one is this, reconciliation with your brother. There's an idea. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Here's what I mean by that. Do you know if somebody wrongs you or hurts you or disappoints you or does something to make you angry? Do you know where to do? Yeah, preacher, I know what where to do. Get angry and bitter at that person. No, you missed the whole message. We're actually supposed to do something that unfortunately is very rarely done. You know what it is? Go to that person and talk to them and reconcile with them. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary. Notice the word quickly. Amen. Quickly. Whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Do it quickly. Amen. Hey, if there's something that you have, maybe somebody's hurt, and by the way, they may not even know they hurt you, but something that's bothering you, something that has come between you, what are you to do? Go and talk to them. You know, Romans 12:18 says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And you know what? You may be thinking this. You know, preacher, I've tried. This person just has hurt me, and I've tried to go to them, and they don't want to hear it. Well, guess what? You've done your part. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I like the way one commentator put it. He wrote, although you may not harbor bitterness against another, if it comes to your consciousness that you have offended another so that he is holding a grudge or harboring a bitter spirit towards you, your responsibility is to initiate the reconciliatory act. In other words, if you know there's something there, we don't sit back and fold our arms and say, well, I'll just wait for them to come to me because I have no problem. It's not supposed to be that way. If something is there, you and I'm supposed to take the initiative, and if it be possible, live peaceably with all men and reconcile with that brother. And then there's a second thing we have to do. Not only reconciliation with the brother, but number two, the extension of God's grace. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. I know we've been looking at this verse a lot, but it's very, very important. And we're going to Ephesians 4 in a moment here. Notice verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What does the Bible mean when it says, lest any man fail of the grace of God? Notice, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Can I ask you something? How does the grace of God manifest itself? Well, it's real easy. In Christ. Amen. In forgiveness. So what are we to do? How are we to prevent that anger to fester and develop into bitterness? First, go to thy brother and reconcile with him. But secondly, we're to do this. We're to extend that person the same grace that you and I have received from Jesus Christ. Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for His grace. And when you and I were sinners on our way to hell, destined for an eternity in hell, and Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and we repented of our sin and trusted Him as Savior, we experienced God's forgiveness. So how do we prevent bitterness from occurring? Well, when that anger pokes its head up, instead of festering on it, release it to God. Amen. Forgive that person. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, where the Bible says this, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. You see, the way we don't allow that anger to fester is we take that situation and that person, and we release that person to God. Forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is the key to avoiding bitterness. So I ask us tonight the question, have you become a bitter person? Is there something there that has caused you to not just be angry, but fester on that anger, and you have let the sun go down upon your wrath, and you have not reconciled with that person, and you have not released that person to God, and you have allowed that thing, that anger, to be prolonged, and it's caused you to become a grumpy person? Doesn't have to be that way. You know, I've found over the years, the longer you live, the more things can make you angry. The more you see, the more you learn, the more you watch, the more you have to deal with, the more angry we can become. Because we know what's right. We know what the Bible says. And we know what America used to be like. We know what things used to be like. And we see all these things piling on us, and we can become angry. And if we let that anger fester, what happens is you and I become bitter, grumpy people. I've seen that. I've seen it in myself at times. But I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a bitter, bitter person. Do you? Forgiveness is the key. Praise God that to the question of bitterness, God gives us the answer. Let's pray together.